From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in the Book of Acts, he'll bring the final portion of a message called Divine Vindication and Vengeance. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6. God that comforteth those that are cast down. And who comforteth like him? Go to some poor, melancholy, distressed child of God. Tell him sweet promises, and whisper in his ear choice words of comfort. He is like the deaf adder. He listens not to the voice of the charmer, charm he never so wisely. He is drinking gall and wormwood. And comfort him as you may, it will be only a note or two of mournful resignation that you will get from him. You will bring forth no psalms of praise, no hallelujahs, no joyful sonnets. But let God come to his child. Let him lift up his countenance, and the mourner's eyes glisten with hope. Do you not hear him sing, 'Tis paradise if thou art here. If thou depart, 'tis hell.' You could not have cheered him, but the Lord has done it. He is the God of all comfort. There is no balm in Gilead, but there is balm in God. There is no physician among the creatures, but the Creator is Jehovah Rophi. It is marvelous how one sweet word of God will make whole songs for Christians. One word of God is like a piece of gold, and the Christian is the gold beater and can hammer that promise out for whole weeks. So then, poor Christian, thou needest not to sit down in despair. Go to the Comforter and ask him to give thee consolation. Thou art a poor dry well. You have heard it said that when a pump is dry, you must pour water down it first of all, and then you will get water. And so, Christian, when thou art dry, go to God. Ask him to shed abroad his joy in thy heart, and then thy joy shall be full. Do not go to earthly acquaintances, for you will find them Job's comforters after all. But go first and foremost to thy God that comforteth those that are cast down, and you will soon say, In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul.
Still, as Lord, you are my
In these troublesome times for our nation, many voices are looking to the government or to social action for the solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. But down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved, times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with John Edwards. These were times of genuine spiritual revivals. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of Duncan Campbell's own account of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. There's also a CD containing the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. Either CD is $5, or you may obtain both for $8, which includes postage and handling. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As he continues this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is expounding portions of chapter 12.
The Apostle James had been murdered by King Herod, and Peter had been put into prison to await his own execution. Dr. Cairns has emphasized that what happened to these two apostles was for the glory of God, a truth that should guide the lives of all of God's people. The wicked Herod acted the fool by not taking God into account. At the same time, the Scripture presents a wonderful picture of the church at prayer. There are many important lessons for our Christian lives in this narrative. Herod laid his evil plans, but the God of heaven and earth overruled. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the final portion of a message called Divine Vindication and Vengeance.
In Colossians 1:24, Paul was wanting always to make up that which was behind in him of the sufferings of Christ. You know, that's the difference between Paul and us and the early church and us. And I've got to include myself in this. We have become soft. And I have to wonder, is our softness not linked with our carnality? And is it not the cause of our powerlessness? You see, our objective, and I must say it's true of us all, and I don't know anybody today that really I can go to and say, now, there's the living example that they're altogether different. We want to get through with as little suffering as possible. Whereas Paul was dead scared of little suffering. Paul says, I want to make up that which is behind in me of the sufferings of Christ. I want, as he puts it to the Corinthians, to keep my body under. I want to know what it is to have fellowship in the sufferings of Christ. Now the Lord's going to have to work a whole change in our entire process of thought and in our entire manner of looking at things. The Lord's going to have to deal with our hearts to wean us away from the effeminacy of the modern Christian situation and give us that rugged willingness. And not only that rugged willingness, but that rugged desire not to fall behind in suffering for Jesus. That's what Paul's saying. That's hard to understand for us. It's hard to take. It's easy to say, but then we'll all go home to our armchairs and our Dunlop pillow mattresses and our carpeted floors and plenty of food. Now, there's nothing wrong in themselves with those things. Nothing wrong with them. But remember always Paul's fear. Remember always Paul's fear. Let's not fall behind in the sufferings of Christ. Let's make sure we always are in fellowship with his cross. Let's make sure, even in the plush surroundings of modern American life, let's make sure that we bear the cross, that we bear the shame, that we are in the world but not of the world. Let's make sure that we're never ashamed of Jesus Christ and his cross. Because if you don't bear the cross, you've never known the blood. Oh, let's get that. We live in a day of easy believism and every profession of Christianity is accepted as truth. There'd be millions in hell who profess to be saved. Millions of them. And they never were saved. My friend Jesus said, if you don't take up the cross, you cannot be my disciple. It's impossible to be saved if there's no taking up of the cross. His fellowship and his sufferings. But there's also the other side of the coin. Peter was delivered out of prison by the miraculous intervention of the angel of the Lord at or about the very time of Christ's resurrection. So that we not only have fellowship, according to Philippians 3:10, in the sufferings of Christ, but we also know the power of his resurrection. My, that's the kind of power we need today. And I think that certainly we can see these two things brought together in our Bible reading. And let's pray that they be brought together in our experience. Fellowship in the sufferings conformable to the death. And then the power of the resurrection of Christ. Oh, let's never lose the zeal to pray for the power of the resurrection. My friend, if there's one thing missing today in our Christianity, it's the dynamic of the Spirit of God. Oh, we have the framework of doctrine. We are orthodox to a T. We stand over every Bible truth. But we don't have the power. Where's the power of the early church? Where's the power that can shake the place wherein the people meet to pray? Where's the power that can bring the angel of God down out of heaven to do a mighty work instantaneously? That power is still available. I do not believe. My whole soul abhors the whole theory. Well, this is a different day, and that day is past. My friend, my God does not change. And I believe that this power is still where it always was, and as much available as it always was. Let's not make the change in times the excuse for our lack of power when it's the change in us. Quickly, just a word about the test. James was murdered and Peter was sentenced. What would the Christians do? Verse 5 gives you the answer. They prayed. Now, it says Peter therefore was kept in prison. Literally it says Peter therefore indeed was kept in prison. In other words, the believers saw the seriousness of the situation. Indeed, he was in jail. In reality, he was there. There was no getting around it. The situation was serious. They saw the gravity of Peter's plight, but they also saw the sovereignty of God's power. It's good to see the need, but it's good to be able to look beyond the need and see the Lord upon the throne. With a living, vital faith, believe in the power of God. So they prayed. Well, you notice the sides in this conflict. You know, if it weren't so serious, you would smile at it. There on the one side you've Herod and all his armies. In fact, he had 16 soldiers looking after one man. 4 quaternions of soldiers. There were 4 watches through the night, 1 watch to each quaternion of soldiers. He took 2 of them in the inner prison and chained the hand of a soldier to the hand of Peter and the hand of the other soldier to the hand of Peter. So there they were. And then he stationed 1 right outside the cell door. That's the 3 of them now. And then he stationed another one out, called here the second ward, outside another door. So he was well and truly looked after. And if there was any rumpus, the other 3 quaternions were close by to be called into action. 16 men to guard 1 prisoner and all the rest of the army in Caesarea on alert. Herod and his armies. What have the other side got? They've got people and they're praying. And I want you to notice this just in passing. Verse 5, prayer was made without ceasing of the church. I don't want to get into the whole argument about church government this morning, but those who believe in independency and congregationalism tell you that the word church always means the independent local church, and it can't mean of a body of churches. Let them have a good look here. The work of God was going on for over a dozen years in Jerusalem. If you read the number of people that were saved, you'll see that they certainly all couldn't meet in the house of Mary, the mother of John Mark. There were many groups and assemblies in Jerusalem, but they were the church. That's Presbyterianism for you, by the way. But that's only by the way. It's the church. And what I'm saying is far more important than church government. Whether in the confines of one little room or not. Whether in the strict confines of this assembly or the other assembly, when the work of God needs it, the Church of Jesus Christ should pray. The Church of Christ. Not just little groups of it here or there. The church prayed, and I want you to see this. That's the conflict. Herod and his armies. The church at prayer. It's laughable, isn't it? Big government versus a praying church. A tyrant lusting for blood versus a praying church. And the church won. But let me tell you this. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 and 4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, My friend, we have all the resources of heaven at our disposal. In God's name, let's use them. Let's go to prayer. Let this church pray. Oh, let us set an example to every other church to pray. We're not in competition with men who believe in prayer. We are complementing, I trust, those who are praying. Let God's people, wherever they meet, whatever their denominational name tag, let the church in Greenville pray. And I tell you, we'll see Greenville move for God. That's the call of Acts 12. The rest of our Bible reading deals with the triumph. I don't know whether I'll come back and deal with that in due course or not. I knew I wouldn't deal with it in any detail this morning. The triumph is seen in the deliverance of Peter. It's seen in the destruction of Herod. And then something that could be easily overlooked. At the very end of the chapter, it's seen in the departure of Barnabas and Saul to the work, full of the zeal of having seen the victory of the Lord. What a triumph. As I say, we may come back and look at that in detail. If we don't, you've got the outline and you can study it for yourself. The triumph for a people who pray. Oh, may God make us that people. May God give us that kind of praying. May God give us that kind of power. And may God indeed visit us as he visited the early church. I've spoken quite a bit this morning to those who are unsaved. And I want to leave you with this thought. Two enemies of the Church of Christ appear in the section between chapters 8 and chapter 12. Right? Saul of Tarsus. Herod the king. The Lord defeated both of them. He saved Saul and he slew Herod. I want to tell you, friend, God is going to be honored in you either by your salvation or your damnation. He has every right to cut you off just as surely as he cut Herod off. You would do well to be on your knees today crying, God, spare me. God, save me. God, use me for your glory. May the Lord grant that you'll come to Christ and truly serve him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Write it in every heart. Save the sinner. Restore the backslider. Revive and revitalize the believer. Oh, set us on fire for God. Lord, save us from becoming soft and effeminate in our stand for thee. Lord, give us that rugged determination of the early church not to fall behind in the sufferings of Christ. Lord, teach us especially that deep agony of soul that the Savior had. As in Gethsemane he prayed, Lord, teach us to agonize as he did when he looked over Jerusalem. Teach us, Lord, to die to sin more and more, to die to self more and more. And Lord, we pray, give us daily the experience of resurrection power. Oh, fill us with the Holy Ghost, we pray. And use us individually, use us as a church. Oh God, burden the hearts of thy people to bring sinners under the sound of the gospel and save them for thy glory's sake. Hear us now, we ask of thee, and part us with thy very richest blessing. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this day and until our Savior either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask in Jesus' name, giving thee our thanks. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us.
If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.